So welcome to this first Sunday in Advent. Advent is, of course, the season of the year in the church when we look forward to the coming of Christ, the birth of the baby Jesus that we celebrate on Christmas, the gift of God's love born into the world to show us the way of God's kingdom. Every Advent, one of our traditions is to light a candle each week to celebrate one of the gifts that Jesus brings to our lives. And this week, we light a candle for hope as we anticipate the promise of new life and transformation found in Jesus, the promise of healing and wholeness found in God's love. We can all use more hope in our lives. Hope is a necessary part of life. Hope is about anticipation and expectation of the future, of good things to come. And it's not about wishful or magical thinking. Hope needs to be grounded in reality, in life itself. Hope is something that resides deep within. It's kind of an emotional connection with whatever will happen in the future. It combines both desire and confidence. But I've always wondered why, if we're trying to give people hope, do we start off Advent with apocalyptic scripture readings? Why talk about nations in anguish and people dying of fright? Why talk about the end of the world? Isn't that kind of depressing rather than hopeful? Well, I have to admit, this year, I think maybe I'm starting to get it. These scriptures, unfortunately, feel a little more appropriate to me this year, a little more real. Now, it's probably nothing more than privilege that that hasn't been the case in the past. But this Advent, I'm more anxious and more fearful at the state of our world than I've probably ever been. And the apocalyptic scripture readings may be depressing, but that feels like where I'm coming from at this point in life. That's the location from which I need to find hope. The scriptures talk of upheaval and change, things we might relate to what we see happening in our own news headlines. And to this, Jesus adds the image of God's chosen one, presumably Jesus himself, coming on a cloud of glory to set things straight. Now, according to Luke, Jesus said this generation would see it take place. Now, there's all kinds of questions regarding how we should understand that. Did Jesus think God would establish an earthly realm before Jesus' own generation died? Because obviously that didn't happen. Did Luke intend his readers to hear this generation as their own some 40 or so years after Jesus? Or are readers of the gospel intended to hear this generation as their own, no matter when they're living or read the gospel? Scholars don't really agree on how to interpret that passage. And personally, I'm not a really big believer in the so-called second coming or final judgment when Jesus will come back and everything will be wrapped up nice and neat. Every generation has seen signs of apocalypse in their time and predicted the end of all things, and every generation has been wrong. At least every generation has been wrong about the end of all things. But maybe they have been somewhat right anyway about seeing the signs. Because what I do believe in is the always arriving Jesus and the eternally present kingdom of God. And I think that the signs of change are always there. The signs of upheaval are always there. And that I think that Jesus is always arriving over and over again, that the kingdom of God is always near. That is reason for hope. When we see upheaval and change in our world, As I said, in reality, every generation does at some point and in some way see those signs. When we see evil and injustice taking root, when we see widespread violence and oppression seemingly everywhere we turn, we should rightfully be anxious and concerned. Jesus said the powers in the heavens will be shaken at the signs. God is disturbed as well by the things we do. And when we see these signs, we have a choice. We can wallow in despair, run and hide in defeat, or we can stand up and hope, raise our heads in courage and continue fighting for justice with courage and love, knowing that God will be there with us. And Jesus, in this scripture reading, asks us to stand up, to raise our heads. And that image of Jesus coming on a cloud is a reminder that Jesus will be there to lift us up when things feel like they've hit rock bottom. I don't think that's a literal image of the end of time. It's a metaphorical image. Everything that really Jesus has said is metaphorical, talking about the moon and the stars and the seas. Jesus is telling us that in every generation, when things get bad, Jesus is going to be there. God is going to be there to lift us up, to help us stand in hope and fight in love for justice for all of God's people. God's love is continually born back into the world in many forms, in many ways. And Jesus reinforces this message with the parable about the figs. He tells his followers that when they see the signs of change, they should know that the kingdom of God is near. If we look into our world, it might seem like the agents of evil and injustice are winning. But what we really see right now is a lot of chaos and uncertainty. We see the signs of change. And with uncertainty comes opportunity. The Christian author Brian McLaren talks about this time in history as being the last gasp of demons such as white supremacy, fighting back with their dying breaths. McLaren thinks that after this time of darkness will come something much better, more just, more loving, more kingdom-like. I don't know if he's right, but I have hope. It seems to be what Jesus is saying too, that with what looks like dreadful chaos to us comes the cracks that let in the light of God's kingdom. And it happens in this generation. We will begin to see more and more light. And in fact, the light is here now and has always been here, will always be here. God's kingdom is always near. The heaven and earth will pass away. Events fade into history and time passes, but the light of God's love always shines. And it shines through us. Jesus says, "Be on your guard lest your spirits become bloated with indulgence, drunkenness, and worldly cares." And through the lens of a final judgment day, and that sounds quite ominous, like God is watching our every move to see if we mess up. And if we're not quite perfect, we're going to get sent to hell or something. But what if we hear those words not in the context of a warning about a final judgment day? What if those are words of encouragement? Then it becomes Jesus suddenly telling us to stay centered on our values, telling us not to give in, not to become part of the evil and injustice of the world, but instead cling to our hope and to the kingdom of God. Because everyone is going to be faced with choices, probably many times over, having to choose between the priorities of love and compassion versus power and wealth, selfishness versus selflessness. And sometimes the choices are subtle and confusing. Sometimes it can be difficult to know what the right thing to do is. And so Jesus tells us to be on our watch, to stay alert, to pay attention and pray constantly for the strength to persevere, to stand secure in hope before the chosen one, not to stand to be judged by, but to stand in solidarity with, that we might create together the kingdom of God, that we might lead people in a way of life that will, as the prophet Jeremiah puts it, bring justice and integrity to the land. And if we still hear a word of judgment in the prophets of the Hebrew Bible or the words of Jesus even, perhaps there is a grounding of hope in that too. For if we truly want to put hope in an alternative and more just future, then perhaps we first need to face the consequences of humanity's failure to listen to God and love our neighbor. Because the evil and injustice, all the chaos and the violence and the oppression that the world is experiencing right now stems from our failure to love our neighbor. And if we can't see and name the ways that we have failed to love each other, failed to treat each other, especially women and people of color, immigrants, LGBTQ people, other marginalized people, we can't see the way we failed to treat them with love and dignity, then we're going to continue to have more of the same chaos. But if we can name our failures, and if we can turn to God and to each other in love, then there's reason for hope. If we see the changes around us, and we see them as opportunities for love, there is reason for hope. In the post-apocalyptic movie Hunger Games, the evil dictator remarks that they hold their gladiator-style games to give the people hope in their champion. A little hope, he says, is effective to control the people, but only a little hope. A lot of hope, he cautions, is dangerous because people start acting when they have a lot of hope. Hope is indeed dangerous. Jesus comes to bring us a lot of hope that we might start acting, because a lot of hope is dangerous to the ways of empire. It's dangerous to people who would build power and wealth at the expense of others. It's dangerous to the status quo. So be on guard. Stay centered in the love of God, standing up in hope for the kingdom of justice and mercy, because that kingdom of God is near at hand. Jesus, God's love, is once more being born into the world. May the light of God shine into your life and through you into the darkness of the world, a beacon of hope for all. Amen.